Shabbat Shalom. The parashas, there are two, this Shabbat, are Vayachel, meaning and he assembled, and Pekudei, meaning an amount or number. And these will conclude the book of Exodus. We again meet Bezalel and Oholiab, and those working with them to skillfully and lovingly construct the articles for the Mishkan, the tabernacle. This is a bittersweet passage. It's bitter because it comes right after the golden calf tragedy. But you see, in Moses' absence, our people urged Aaron, we panicked, and our people urged Aaron to make an idol out of gold. So he took donations of gold from everyone and fashioned the idol, and Israel worshiped at an altar dedicated to it. We betrayed the Lord, who just weeks earlier had rescued us and delivered us from our bondage and slavery in Egypt. How quickly we forget. How easily we go astray. But God's wonderful grace also shines through these chapters. Although the golden calf incident was catastrophic, and 3,000 men died on account of it, those were the leaders of that rebellion, God did not abandon nor disown his people Israel. Otherwise, why would he tell us to get back to work and resume building the tabernacle, the place he intended to meet with us? He is a God who desires us to draw near. Sin interrupts our fellowship with him, but he doesn't change. He is and always will be the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love and truth. He disciplines those who are his own, but always with a view towards restoration. Second and third and fourth chances, the very things we all need, are given us by Eloha Slichot, the God of forgiveness. As with our ancestors in the wilderness, he offers us the opportunity to repent and return to him, bringing our talents and our resources, and this time around, putting them to good use. In chapters 35 and 36, Moses invited artisans and invited people's contributions. And nobody was required to come, and nobody was required to give, but rather the one whose heart stirred him. And that's a phrase that repeats no less than four times in this passage. God doesn't employ coercion or compulsion, and that's how it should be for us. Whether yours is the role of benefactor, you are able to contribute materially or financially, or perhaps the role of a craftsman, skilled in artistry and or mechanics. Whatever you do shouldn't be done grudgingly. If you have any ambivalence about giving or volunteering, well, you want to examine that ambivalence. But my point is, wait until your heart is stirred, assuming, of course, you're willing to let the Lord stir your heart. By the way, you don't need to feel led about things that the Lord has already given us commandments. Just want to make that clear. Matters such as being immersed, baptized in Yeshua's name, or doing evangelism, or shunning what is evil, you don't need to feel led about those things. He's already told us. This passage is about over and above serving and giving. Well, they ran into a problem, but it was a really good problem. People were bringing much more than what was needed. Boy, we should always have such problems. They brought so much gold and silver, fabrics and precious stones, that Moses finally had to say, Dayenu, it's enough, and urge people not to bring any more. Israel's generosity in this context is a portrait of what it means to be a people forgiven and now overflowing with gratitude, eager to do God's bidding. By today's standard, the cost of constructing the tabernacle, not even including the labor, was staggering. Over 29 talents just in gold was used. Now, gold right now is about $1,325 an ounce. That's an ounce. 29 talents equals a little over 3,700 pounds. You get the idea. It's a lot. And to say nothing of the silver, the wood, the many precious stones, the animal skins, the fabrics. Where did Israel get all these riches? Simple. Egypt. Remember, God promised Abraham that his descendants would leave Egypt with great riches, and we did. One thing that stands out in the design of the tabernacle is that just as much attention is given to the interior details as to the exterior. For example, the Ark of the Covenant. It was overlaid with gold, not just on the outside, but on the inside. Why? Once it was sealed, no human being would ever see inside the ark again, or at least they weren't supposed to. I believe it is a picture of God, what God wants from you and me, integrity, that what we appear to be on the outside is genuinely what we are on the inside. Does your private world correspond to your public persona? Hey, listen, if not, you're not alone, and there is a remedy. Confess it before the Lord. Allow him to cleanse you from the inside out, for we are called to holiness. As Paul wrote, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. In chapter 40, God commanded Moses to anoint all the furnishings of the tabernacle with the special oil dedicated for this purpose. Moses did so and put the sacred garments on Aaron and his sons, anointing them with oil. Then the ark was brought in and set behind the veil. The lampstand was put in place, and Moses lit that lampstand, which was never to go out. A veil was put in place around the tabernacle, and Moses burned incense on the golden altar. He offered a burnt offering and a meal offering and washed in the golden laver and completed the work. And it would be the last time Moses would set foot in the most holy place, since Aaron, not he, was the high priest. Suddenly the cloud of the Lord descended and covered the tent of meeting, and his kavod, his glory, filled the place. Thus Adonai went before Israel in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night all the days of their sojourning. Let me conclude with this thought. As wondrous as that tabernacle was, it pales by comparison to the way in which God manifested his kavod, his glorious presence on earth, in the person of Messiah Yeshua. The author of Hebrews, the letter to the Messianic Jews, alluded to this when he wrote, "But when Messiah appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation." So my question for you as we close is, what are you investing in? What stirs your heart? Is your heart stirred within you to do something for God's kingdom? We've all been entrusted with various gifts and giftings. So let's be faithful stewards of those things and put them to work for the glory of God, the God of second chances.